It's a great joy to be part of this first conference for office bearers. And I would love to start with reading from Acts chapter 20. We'll read a few verses from Acts chapter 20. And I'll start from verse 17 till the end of the chapter. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, "Ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have shewed you and have taught you publicly, and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all among whom I have come preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourself and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, and not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch, and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourself know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have shewed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, It is more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. And they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him unto the ship. Let's seek the Lord's face in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your precious word. We thank you for your kindness, your mercy toward us, that you have given this living word so that we may be wise, so that we may live according to your truth. But before all, so that we may see Jesus. And Lord, we want to see Jesus Christ. In his precious name we pray. Amen. The title of my talk is Showing Initiative in Office Bearing. And this text that Paul brings before us Of course, Luke wrote this text, but Paul is the one who is saying these words. Will highlight many, many important things regarding the importance of initiative or the initiative spirit of an office bearer. We have been listening for two sessions so far, the last session this morning and yesterday. We have been listening, and this is very important, on the humility of this position, of the office bearer, and how many people may seek these positions because they are hungry for power. We have heard about the triangle and how should the office bearer be someone who is beneath, someone at the bottom, not at the top, to serve the people, to carry the people. Very important, very true. And as we have seen yesterday again, the disciples were fighting. Who is greater? This is one aspect that we need to be careful as we think of office bearing in the church. But on the other hand, there is another aspect, and I would say it's also very dangerous, which is the attitude of withdrawal, that you don't step ahead when the Lord calls you to do something, to serve his people, and you say, no, I rather live peacefully, I rather just focus with my family, just come to the church for the simple kind of life, and that's it. Why would I go to all these labors? Why would I tempt myself, even with pride? I'll just stay away. They have been warning me again and again of pride, and I don't want to go to this place. And you may think low of yourself, although the Lord calls you to do this job. I remember Moses, as we are thinking of these two extremes that we may fall into. Moses, in the beginning of his life, 40 years in Egypt, strong man, very powerful, very full of himself. He wants to accomplish things with his own hands. He kills the Egyptian. And then we know the story. He was taken to the wilderness. He was taken to Sinai. He stayed with his father-in-law for 40 years, just shepherding sheep. And when the Lord calls him, five times Moses would say, not me. I don't want to go. The Lord himself appears to him and calls him by name. You will do this for me. And he kept bringing excuses again and again and again. So this can be a tendency. People can just try to hide. Someone else may do the job, not me. Other people can do the job, not me. I understand some people are not called to be an office bearer. Definitely, as we will see. Not everyone is called to be an office bearer. Not every man is called to be an office bearer. But certainly, God calls office bearers. And it would be very problematic, as we'll see, if those whom the Lord calls and gifts are withdrawing, not showing the initiative, or after being chosen as office bearers, which would be way more problematic, they are not acting as they should be, as office bearers, as people who should stand and take the initiative. As office bearers, it would be just a title. This would be even more problematic. So our main verse today from this text is verse 28. And most of my talk will rotate around this verse. Take heed, therefore, unto yourself and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. I want to add one more thing before we say the main ideas. This talk and this text is not just for those who will be office bearers. Not only for the elders. It's also for those who will elect the elders. You need to know, Who's an elder? What is expected from an elder? So that when you come to this day of electing or choosing elders, you know who to choose. Not your friends, not those whom you like, not those whom you trust personally because you have a relationship with them. It's not about that. It's the church of Christ. You're not choosing your friends or those whom you just know. But you need to know what is expected of an office bearer. What will be his role? Realizing, I see the gift in this person. And so, I'll put his name. So it's this text is not just for certain people. It's for all men. Not because all of them will be office bearers, but because all of them will be involved as members of the church in choosing office bearers. And as we'll see, it's a heavy task. And it's a great responsibility for all of us. No one is exempted. No one is exempted. We are all involved one way or another of this process of choosing. So today, as I'm going to discuss the initiative of or the showing the initiative of the office bearer, I will have two main ideas. And I apologize for not preparing notes. You know, the other speakers, they put me to shame when every one of them is preparing his notes. But hopefully, this will make you write more diligently, you know, and follow me. So two main ideas. First of all, the ground for this role or this initiative. What is the ground of this role and the ground of showing initiative? And the second point will be the details of showing the initiative. What does it mean to show the initiative as an office bearer? So the ground and how does it show itself? How does it express itself? The expression of showing the initiative. First of all, the ground. And it's interesting here, when Paul talks about this role, take heed therefore and to all the flock, take heed for yourself and to the flock. We need to realize he's talking to elders, not to the whole church. In verse 17, it's clear. He's saying he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. So now we know who's the audience to whom he's saying these words. And you may, when you read this and read his words, take heed therefore unto yourself and to all the flock, sometimes we jump directly. Okay, what should they do? Who should they be or? What kind of qualifications that they may have? But I just want to say, wait a second. We need to realize what are we talking about. We are not talking about an election in a syndicate or election in a corporate or in a firm. We are not talking about an election in a country. We are talking an election in way, way greater body. Nothing is more important. We're talking about a task. We're talking about someone who's going to lead in the most important institution on this earth, the Church of God. And why it is the most important? Because see who is involved. Who is involved? Think of this. If you are involved in a company where your co-worker is the president of this country and the president of this country or the greatest army leader of this country, and you became part of this, you are a board member with this, you'll feel, well, this is an important task, it seems so. See with me who is involved in this task of office bearing. Not men, not angels. Take heed therefore unto yourself and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. The Holy Ghost is involved. Not only that, who are these flock? To feed the church of God. He's the head of it, which he has purchased with his own blood. And the way this institution, the way this organization, if I may use the word organization, I don't like to use the word organization, but for the sake of the example, the way this body was formed is through this work, the redemptive work of Christ. This is what we are involved in. This is what we are talking about. We are not talking about a manly leadership. It's huge. Huge. Nothing is more important. And the ground for this role is founded on this work, the work of the triune God, where the Lord himself sent his son, Jesus Christ, to purchase people, to redeem people. He purchased them with his own blood. Think of the price. The text that you can find in your bulletin is Ephesians 4. We have opened Ephesians 4 several times. Let me point to something in Ephesians 4 to understand what happened, to see this foundation. Verse 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, talking about Christ, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now that he ascended, what is it? But that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And then our text, that he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Notice what Paul is building here before talking about the different roles in the church. He's saying, what is the foundation of this? What happened for this to take place? It is the work of Christ. It is his descent and ascension. He came to the lower parts of earth. He died. He incarnated and he died. But he led captivity captive. He made a great work. He conquered all the enemies of his people. He conquered sin, death, Satan. And he was lifted on the right hand of God Almighty. And now he sits as the king, as we listened in the last session. He's the king. And as the king, the one who conquered in this greatest battle ever, he is giving spoils to his people. And who are these spoils? It is the office bearers. It's the office bearers. Those whom he captived. He took to himself. He is giving them to the church to serve his church. The book of Acts, where our text is from, it speaks in the very beginning about the ascension of Christ. And when the Lord was ascended into the right hand of God Almighty, he poured the Spirit. This was the gift that he gave. He gave the Spirit. He gave the Spirit. He formed this institution, the church, which with its elders and deacons, of course, starting with the apostles. And with this same Spirit, he appoints those who will lead in the church. He appointed the apostles, and the apostles appointed the elders wherever they go. And from now on, the church would elect the elders. This was through the work of Christ and through the work of the Spirit, whom Christ, as the King of the church, has sent the Spirit to accomplish this. Until this day, this is what Christ does in his church. He's the king of the church. This is his body, the church that he purchased by his own blood. And he gives gifts to the church. What are the gifts that he is giving to the church? These people. How he does this? Through his Spirit. Let's go back to Acts 20 and read this text again. Acts 20:28. Take heed, therefore, unto yourself and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. See, who made you overseers? It is the Spirit. The Spirit whom was sent by Christ the King. He's the one who made you overseers. And you're assigned this role for a certain purpose. You had these gifts, not for yourselves. The Holy Spirit anointed you to feed the church of God, which he has purchased by his own blood. The Lord is building his church through these men. Again, this is what Paul says in Ephesians 4. He gave gifts, the elders, the teachers, the pastors, of course, the apostles at that time, and the prophets. Why? To equip the body of Christ, to feed them, to care for them, and to enable all of the members of this church to exercise their own respective ministries, so that the whole body may grow into maturity, wholeness, and unity. So this is the picture. This is the ground for doing our role. We are the representatives of Christ. The office bearers are the representatives of Christ the King, who chose them, who gave them new birth, who anointed them with his Spirit, who equipped them, prepared them, and gave them to the church so that they may accomplish his will. So think of this. Think of someone that has been gifted from Christ to the church, and he would say, no, I'm not doing this. It is disobedience to the King. It is wasting the resources of the King. Disobedience to the King. This is what we are involved in. It is God himself is the one who makes the men elders. This is what it says. Over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. He's the one who made them. It's not the people. The people, yes, chose them. But in fact, the people kind of discerned. God's people, the members of the church, they discerned whom the Lord gave to the church. And this is our role as a church. We don't make elders, we discern those whom the Lord has gifted to the church. And we need to make sure that it is not every man. That's why, if you go back to Ephesians 4, he said he gave some. Christ gave some, not everyone. He gave some to be this, to be that, to be that, to be that. And we as a church, in prayer, fervent prayer, waiting for the Lord, knowing each other really well, we say, Lord, we are choosing these men to be the elders of the church. Knowing that it is God himself who made them, who gifted them to the church. That's why when we choose, we don't choose according to qualifications that we decide. We choose according to qualifications that the Word of God teaches. He tells us, who are they? We have heard in the last 2 days, today and yesterday, 1 Timothy 3 many times, Titus many times. And this text, Acts 20. We'll see later, 1 Peter 5. It's all over the place in the New Testament. It comes again and again. The Lord is saying, these are the men that I'm choosing. These are the men. And if you read the qualifications, nothing about social status, right? Nothing about their education. I mean in the world. Nothing about their income. Nothing about that. Different qualifications. And as we choose God's men to take this position, again, we are discerning in prayer those whom the Lord gifted to the church. It is Jesus Christ who is the head of the church. He is the one who gave them, and he's the one who purchased this church. It is his church. It's not our church. And he's the one who gives certain gifts to men according to his own will to do this role. And these men, they are doing a very important role in the church. Christ is telling them, I want you to feed my sheep, to protect my sheep, to equip my sheep, and I'm giving you all what you need to do that. I'm equipping you, I'm enabling you. As we heard in the last session, I am with you always, so that you may do this role. not showing the initiative, being called by God, elected by the church, not showing the initiative in this role is a matter of negligence. You are ignoring the king. You are messing with Christ's bride. And instead of taking care of her, his bride. It is the bride that he purchased with his own blood. So as we are thinking of being elders or deacons or ministers, this should guide our thinking. Whether you are doing your role or not, think of this. Think to whom you are reporting to. Who put you to this position? It's not a pastor. It's not even the people who put you in this position. Before all, it is God himself. So the king trained you, equipped you, gave you his authority and power to sit in this place, to sit as an office bearer. And now he sends you to do the job. And you do the job. And if you fail, sometimes we fail, you go again to the king and ask for help. No one would say we will be perfect as office bearers. We fail. And I will come to this later. But he promised to be with us. He's Emmanuel. This is our first point. This is the ground. The ground of showing the initiative. Think of this. We are the gift of the king to the church, enabled by his spirit who made us in this place to feed his bride, to feed his flock, to feed Christ's people, whom he purchased with his own blood. This is the task we are talking about. Now let's try to understand the second point. How shall we show this initiative as office bearers, especially as elders? As this text teaches us. One word I can use, they are taking care. They are taking care of the people of God. They are like good fathers who are taking care of their family. A good father will never ignore his role. He will not be a good father, right? He has a role. The consequences of ignoring your role are disastrous in a family. And it is the same in the church of God. If the elders, they just ignore their role, they are not taking the initiative, they are not doing what they are supposed to do, the results are disastrous. But first of all, interestingly, this is what Paul says. First of all, they take care of themselves. Verse 28, this is what he says. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves. And I don't mean here that they make the people serve them. No, no, we have heard this. This can be in light of what we have heard yesterday, right? But he's telling them, take heed therefore unto yourselves. The emphasis here is not about their personal growth for the sake of their own sanctification or holiness, but it has to do with their role as office bearers. So the emphasis here is that their personal growth is very important as it is a means through which the Lord enables them to care for the people. As an office bearer, you don't have an option not to grow. You have to grow, not just for your own sake, but for the people. An office bearer who's not growing will harm the whole congregation. So, taking the initiative as an office bearer to take care of yourself, to take heed of yourself, means that you cannot be satisfied by just coming to the church every Lord's Day as an office bearer to sit in the consistory room, pray before the meeting, attend the church, and just go home. And you will just depend, this is how I'm getting fed. This is not what's expected of an office bearer. An office bearer is someone who will feed others. If he is starving, how is he going to feed others? It is someone who is a diligent student of the word. He wants to know more. He wants to know God more. He wants to know the Word more. He wants to understand theology more. He's very hungry to get books. He wants to get equipped himself so that he can serve the flock. And Paul is saying, take heed of yourself. The same is said to First Timothy. Listen what he says to Timothy. 1 Timothy 4, verse 16. Of course, Timothy was the minister, like the pastor. But it applies to all of them, to all the elders, to all the overseers. 1 Timothy 4, 16. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. So as an office bearer, people are expecting you to teach them, to give them an advice, to direct them to right ways, to warn them from bad ways. If you are not well equipped, if you are not taking care of yourself, how is this expected that you do this for them? So you have to have this initiative as an office bearer to study. An office bearer is not someone whom people try to convince him to read books. He is the one who runs for it. He's the one who looks for it and asks for it. He's the one who wants to study. Because he's expected to interact with different issues as an office bearer, as someone who takes care of many, many people. He needs to be always ready in face of opposition to the truth, in face of hard questions that he may face from people, in visitations, as people seek him to ask him questions and about their faith, about the Bible. Young people have their own issues, controversial issues. Take heed unto yourself as an office bearer. It's not an option. It's not a preference. It's a must for this job, for this role. So they care for themselves, but they also care for the people. So he's saying, take heed, therefore, unto yourself and to all the flock. And we will spend some time here. What does it mean to care for the flock? But remember, you are doing this in the name of Christ. And the language of the flock, it brings to the mind the word the shepherd. So it's a work of shepherding. We heard this last session. It's a work of shepherding. And to understand, to learn what does it mean to care for the flock, we look to the chief shepherd. The chief shepherd. He is the good shepherd. And look what the good shepherd has done for his flock. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. We cannot give our lives for the sheep in an atoning way. We will not die in their place. But a good shepherd will sacrifice for his sheep. This is what's expected from a shepherd. Under this chief shepherd, he is the one who assigned us to do this role, and he's showing us who he is as a shepherd, as the chief of shepherds. He gave his life to the sheep. He doesn't run when the wolves come. He stands and protects. He makes sure that he will feed the sheep good food. But see how the chief shepherd is doing something for all the flock that is connected to the under shepherds. And when I say under shepherds, I mean all the office bearers. He's talking to the elders and he's telling them, take heed of your flock, of the flock. One of the things that Christ says in John 10, he just died for the sheep. Listen to this. He's saying, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. He's bringing to us the flock, right? He's changing people, converting them, giving them new hearts, and he's bringing them to us, to the office bearers. And what should the under shepherds do when the chief shepherd sent them new sheep? They should receive them. And this is the first role an under shepherd would do as a carer for the flock. He received them. The under shepherd, the elders, the office bearers, they are hospitable. They are welcoming. And this began on the Nothix. On the Lord's Day, when new people come to your church, who should care for them? Who should ask who they are? Who should welcome them? Who should smile in their face? One of the qualifications of the elders, according to 1 Timothy 3, to be given to hospitality. And not only in their houses. Of course, they should be hospitable in their houses. But even in the church of God, they are hospitable. They are not these kind of people, when the church is gone, he takes his family and just go. Who will ask about these new people? Who will welcome them? How many times have you heard people, we have visited this church, we came and go, no one asked us, what's your name? I've heard it. People now became members in churches around, and they said, when we first came, no one asked who we are. We just came and left. Christ is sending us people. And as office bearers, what we do? We welcome them. We receive them. But I'm not just talking about receiving them as someone who may just be coming and visit. To become a member in the church, to become a member of the church, who receives new members in the church? It's the office bearers. It's the consistory, the elders. And how do they do this? It should not just be that, well, you attend these classes. If you attend these classes, you'll do this confession. You are a member. No. This is not how a good shepherd will take care of the flock. You want to protect the flock. So you need to talk to them, to ask them. Sometimes ask them hard questions about their conversion. And don't be ashamed of that. You really want to know that they are sheep. Otherwise, you'll bring goats within the gate. Of course, I'm not saying sometimes people may take it in an extreme way and become very strict so that they may not make any member join to the church. But the tendency is that sometimes we allow people just to come. You need to ask them about their faith, about the love to the word, about the love to Christ. You receive them to the flock as an office bearer. And you take it, once they become members, you are responsible to take care of them, to feed them well, to care for them, to visit them, to guide them, to correct them. What a responsibility you are establishing as you are receiving the new flock that the chief priest, the chief shepherd has sent to the church. So the first task as a carer, you receive them. You receive them. And as you receive them, you'll start to feed them well. And this takes me to the second point of caring for the flock. You feed them. See how Paul gave us an example of feeding the flock. In this same chapter, verse 20. He's telling them how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. Think of this kind of initiative, showing the initiative in the ministry, showing the initiative as an office bearer. He didn't keep from them anything that is profitable. He was not a minimalist. He's not giving them the least he can give. The opposite. Anything that can profit my flock or the flock that the Lord has put me upon, I will do. I'm seeking their good. I'm seeking their growth. And I'm giving them all what is profitable. Everything that should help them, build them up, that's what I'm going to give them. So they are thinking, they are creative, they are very active, they are concerned about giving their flock everything that is profitable. This is what an office bearer. Paul here says he was teaching them publicly from house to house. Any chance that I will have to build them up, I will do. And this means, and we have seen this, I think, in 1 Timothy 3, that these office bearers, these elders, are people who are able to teach, right? They must be able to teach. I'm not talking about preaching on the Lord's Day only. Of course, the minister, this is his main task, as we have heard. He's doing a prophetic role. But the office bearers, they must be able to teach. This is one of their qualifications. And the chances for them to teach is many, many, many chances. Sunday school classes, prayer meeting, youth meetings, camps, family gatherings, fellowship meals, small groups, one-to-one. Paul is saying, I have been doing this from house to house. So this is one of the things. If you are not gifted, or if you don't have this desire in your heart to share God's word, even on one-to-one basis, this is something about the gifts. But as an elder, you must be able to teach, to share God's word when needed. They are gifted to do so. That's why I talked about the gift in the beginning. Christ gave them this gift by his Spirit. They study God's word. They're equipped in the word. And they don't keep back. They don't stand back whenever there's a chance. In fact, it's the opposite. They want to find a chance. How can I help in that? How can I do that? And part of their work as teachers, showing the initiative, is not just seeking all opportunities to teach what is profitable. Titus tells us, as an elder, as an office bearer, he's someone who will exhort, and sometimes he will rebuke. And he doesn't do this because he has some ideas in his mind. He's doing this based on the word that he studied. So he's able to interact with people who may resist the truth. He can show them, no, what you're saying is not right because of this, this, and that from the word. He's able to do this. Or he can exhort people. I think you should do this. You are standing behind. You are not taking good care of your wife, of your children. You should do this. I think you are taking too much time in your work. I think you because you may be a lover of money more than of God. Maybe you need to encourage someone who feels depressed or have this great sense of guilt or struggling with assurance. You come and exhort them and pray with them. So he's active in doing these roles. From the word, not depending on his own intelligence or his own communicating or communication skills, depending on the word. He's doing a teaching role as he's doing these things. He's showing it from the word. That's why I began by saying they must take heed of themselves. If they are not well fed, how are they going to do this positive role? Showing the initiative, going to the people, asking them, how are you doing? And not just how are you doing in a superficial sense. How are you doing with the Lord? How are you doing with your family? Are you struggling? And when people listen to these questions from the elders who really show great care of themselves, they will talk, and then the Lord will guide you through his wisdom, by his Spirit, to exhort, to rebuke, to encourage, to teach, to point to certain truth. And God's flock are hungry. They're hungry for this. And this is what an office bearer should do, feeding the flock, taking care of the flock. But this role of teaching has also something to do with the relationship with the minister. As office bearers, we have heard this in the last session, there is a kind of an interrelationship between them. As office bearers, part of your role is to encourage the minister. And I'm talking especially about his teaching role. You are involved with him in that. It should not be the case that the minister is deciding, well, this is what I'm going to preach, and he's in a kind of a separate world. And the office bearers, we have nothing to do with this. No, they discuss it with them. They talk with them. What are you going to preach? Oh, this would be a great thing to preach. Yes, our people need this. They are in discussion about what's happening in the flock. They know the people. And even after he preaches, they encourage him. They said, yes, you hammered the right point. This was a blessing. We needed that. Or maybe this point was not clear enough. So the office, as office bearers, they offer constructive criticism, positive and negative. They're friends. They're working together for the flock. It's not that this is his role. We have nothing to do with that. No, he's talking to all the elders. When Paul did not ask just for the minister of Ephesus, he called all the elders of Ephesus. And he gave them the same command. Take heed to all the flock. And part of this care that you in terms of teaching to the flock, is your relationship with the minister. And you know what? The ministers, they need this support. They need this kind of encouragement. And sometimes they need this kind of warning. Pastor Elshaud gave us a great example. When the people in the church, they said, don't get involved in this. We will carry this for you so that you may have more freedom in the pulpit. This is what an office bearer should do. He's aware of what's going on. He understands the dynamics. He knows that this issue, if the pastor, if the minister is going to be involved in it, he may not be able to teach this topic at this point. They're involved in the teaching of the church. And this feeding, this teaching of the church, is always connected in the New Testament with the caring of the people. As you care for them, you need the word. You care for the people. Showing the initiative is not just to teach them, but you care for them. In the Gospel of John, I'll come to this by the end. In the Gospel of John chapter 21, Christ talks to Peter and asks him this question three times. Famous text. Do you love me? Three times, right? And every time Peter says, Lord, you know I love you. And Christ, three times he would say, feed my sheep. The first time he says, feed my sheep. In the third time, he said, feed my sheep. In the second time, he said, care for my sheep. Even in the Greek, different word. Feed, care, feed. And they are interrelated. As you teach the people, you are teaching them because you care for them. And as you care for them, as you visit them, as you care for the spiritual life, you teach them, in a sense. They are always interrelated. Caring for them, feeding them. And this says, as you teach the people, as you guide them, as you feed the flock, you have to be close to the flock. You have to know them. You are not just with your books and with your studies, and you'll just come and pour it on them, and they should receive it. You know them. You know their circumstances. The illustration we heard last session about this sheep that always goes stray, and the shepherd has to break his legs because he goes away a lot. He knows it. He knows them. And as you know your people, the people that the Lord has put in your responsibility, you know how to care for them. As you know how to care for your children, think of your children. You may have two children, three children, four children, five children. You don't deal with them all the same. You don't do this. But because you are close to them, you understand this is the weakness of this one, this is the strength of this one, and this is where this one needs help. And so I will offer him this kind of help at this time. The same applies for the people of God. If you don't know them, if you are not close to them, if you don't visit them, how would you know? You can't just give them a book and tell them, read this and you'll be fine. Or this is what the Bible says. Of course we'll say what the Bible says. But at the right time, the right person, after listening, after knowing them, And that's why the work of visitation as for elders is not optional. It's not optional. It's not just the work of the minister. As office bearers that the Lord set you upon the flock, you have to visit your people. And this system of districts is a great one. A great one. I'm not saying that every elder should visit all the families, but divide the work. And I think there are some, we can learn this from the New Testament. We can get this wisdom from the New Testament that Peter has certain kind of work to do and Paul has other kind of work to do. There's kind of distribution of responsibility. Not everyone is doing everything. But you have to visit. You have to visit in times of mourning, in times of sickness, in times of rejoicing, in times of hardships. People need someone to care for them. We have a great pastor in my church in Egypt, our senior pastor. He's a great pastor. And what I mean by great, that he loves to care for the people. I'll give you an example. I know that it is not common here, it's different, but I'll tell you one of the things that he does. Our high school students, the senior high school students, this year is very decisive in their lives and in their future, I mean academically. Because what you get in the senior year of high school will determine which university you'll go to and what will be your career. Very, very, very important year in their lives, in their career. And so the exams, people are terrified from these exams. It's different from here. Because if you get good grades, you'll get to university with a scholarship almost free. So people are studying very hard for that. Young people are studying, and they are so nervous, and their families are also very nervous. So this is what our pastors would do during these times of the exams. He would call all the elders of the church, and he would say, we need to visit them. Not to spend time, but we'll just knock the door. We'll go and knock the door and spend like 5 to 7 minutes with the boy or the girl. And we tell them, we're praying for you, and we pray with them. We try to read small psalm or to read something from the Gospels with them, encourage them, and just leave. You can't imagine what the impact this would do with the young people and the parents. Because the church, they care for us. They are with us. They are not just on the top of the pyramid telling us what to do and what not to do. They are with us. They are caring for us. This is what it means to show the initiative. You know your people and you want to express your care for them. And you also want to protect them. And showing the initiative in this. You are not just feeding them well, caring for them. You protect the flock. And when it comes to protection, you have to be always proactive. You don't wait when bad things happen and then you think of protection. You think ahead to protect them. And one of the first things to do to protect them is what I just said, to feed them well. This is a very good strategy to protect them. But sometimes still you need other kind of protections, not just by feeding them, but by removing bad stuff from the flock. When we think of protection, many times we think about dangers that comes from outside. But in Acts 20, Paul highlights the dangers from inside more. Interestingly, look with me in verse 29. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. He's warning them, maybe false teachers may come in. Maybe dangerous guys, very influential, can come in and harm the flock. Beware of them. This is someone who's very watchful. The office bearer needs to be very watchful and to protect the sheep. Not only this, also of your own selves. This is fearful. This is really fearful. Also of your own selves. He's talking to the elders and then he's telling them this. Because it can be a trap. Being an elder, it can be a trap sometimes. Of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. And I think he's speaking not just about false teachers or false teaching. He's also talking about divisions that may take place in the church, where influential elders, influential leaders may cause divisions in the church. And he's saying, be careful of that. Can we do this as office bearers? We can cause divisions. Yes, we can try to draw people to ourselves. We can make people take sides. Think of this example. Just an example came to my mind. You hear someone in the congregation as an elder, not happy with the preaching. I have a problem with the preaching. And he would say, this was not clear to me, very challenging, or whatever reason, he was not happy with the preaching. And he comes to you, he talks to you personally, or he talks before you. I didn't like the preaching. What do you think? What would you do as an office bearer, as an elder? You would listen to him. It's understood that sometimes people, not all the people in the church, can come to the minister and express their challenges, their misunderstanding, or their struggles. Understood. That's why it's good to have office bearers to help with that. So that he comes to you, or she comes to you, and she or he expresses his frustration. You have to ask some questions and to see, is it superficial? Is it trivial? Protest or accusation? And if you see it, something superficial, something shallow, you have to stand and say, well, I don't think this was true for this, for so and so and so. You have listened and you can argue back. But then let's say that the accusation or the complaint is deeper than this. It's serious. What would you do? You bring it to the consistory. You bring it to the pastor. You have to discuss it. You cannot put it under the rug and just act as if it does not exist. It exists. And it will. If it grows, it will harm the church. It will break the unity of the church. It will cause divisions. Way worse if you say, well, I agree with you, but what can we do? Maybe it will become better. And you just interact with it to seem nice with the people. So instead of healing the injuries of the body, you're increasing them. It's serious. And it begins small. As office bearers, we need to be watchful, caring for the unity of the church. This is what it means to protect the church, not just from false teachers, but from schisms, from divisions. And Paul is saying, among you, people will do this. We'll try to draw people from the flock to themselves. Beware of that. As office bearers, you protect the people of God. You correct them. And at certain points, you may reach the point of excommunicating them. We have heard briefly on this. It's a huge thing that I will not go deep into. But this is part of your role. You interact with problems in the church. You stand strong. When correction is needed, you talk about it. You care for the souls. The writer of Hebrews says, as office bearers, they watch for your souls. When they see something wrong, they interact with it. And if it persists, they can remove from the flock. After going through the whole procedures of excommunication, maybe in another conference, there will be a whole session on excommunication. But this is a sobering issue. And we cannot hide from it as office bearers. At many points, we have to interact with it. Again, the question comes that we have heard in the last two sessions. Who is sufficient for these things? Who is sufficient for these things? Especially putting in mind that we are reporting to Christ himself, to the King of the church, who knows all things, who purchased the church with his blood. Who is sufficient for these things? It's fearful. That's why I will close with this. As shepherds, as overseers, remember that before you care for the people, the chief shepherd cares for you. You are being cared for, you yourself being cared for. And the one who cares for you is the chief shepherd himself. Remember, I told you I will come again to John 21. John 21, we usually run directly to Christ's question to Peter, telling him, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Do you love me? Feed my sheep. But it's interesting how this whole encounter began. If you read John 21, this is how it began. The disciples went to fish. After a lot of disappointments, they went to fish again. Peter denied the Lord. Most of the disciples did not believe that he rose again. He appeared to them, but there's still something. And they went fishing. And then Christ appeared to them. And do you remember what Christ has done to them when he appeared to them? Before talking to Peter. See what Christ has done to them in John 21. Verse 9. As soon as they were come to the land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon and bread. He's preparing a meal for them. He's preparing a meal for his shepherds. And then Jesus said unto them, bring off the fish which you have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to the land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus said unto them, come and dine. Come and eat. He's feeding them. Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. See how many times John is affirming this reality, that Christ himself is feeding his office bearers, caring for them. And after caring for them, he tells Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. He fed them first. And he cares for them. Even when sometimes they do something wrong or when they go away from their calling, he would come and restore them and care for them. What a savior. What a chief shepherd. This same Peter writes these words. Listen to these words that Peter writes in 1 Peter 5. The elders which are among you, I exhort, who I'm also an elder. I'm an elder like them. And a witness of the suffering of Christ. And also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly. See the initiative? Willingly. Not for filthy lucre, but for a ready mind. And one day the chief shepherd will come and ask you as an office bearer, what did you do with my sheep? What did you do with my sheep? A faithful elder, a faithful office bearer will answer like that. I cared for your flock, O Lord. I fed them with your truth. I cared for some with joy and for some with sorrow and tears. Then this will be the answer. When the chief shepherd will appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. This is what he will tell you. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Amen. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, We thank you for the chief shepherd, our Lord Jesus Christ, who came and gave himself for the sheep. He's the one who showed the initiative, who came to die, purchased this flock by his own blood. Lord, what a privilege that you would give us to your people to work in your kingdom, to be co-laborers, to be under shepherds who would care for the people. Lord, protect us from being cowards, not standing for your people, fleeing when the wolves come, not caring for them, using them or eating them instead of feeding them. Oh, Lord, protect us from this. Show us the great shepherd. Show us who are we working with. Lord, you know that no one is sufficient for this. But we thank you because you are the one who feeds your people and the one who feeds us. We pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen.